Morning. We welcome everyone to the courtroom, but a special welcome for the students from Mount Horeb High School. Would they please stand? Good. Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for wearing your sweatshirt.
Mount Horeb.
Mount Horeb. Please be seated. The students are here with a national award-winning program sponsored by this court and the State Bar. Under this program, we invite students to come and listen to an oral argument. The invitation is picked up. The students are sent material about the case and may engage in some activities at the school relating to the case. They come to oral argument. And after oral argument, they meet with a justice assigned to meet with them that day. It's right after this second case, and you're all welcome to join the students. The discussion will be on the procedures for taking cases, deciding cases, publishing their opinions. The discussion will not be about the substantive issues of the case. But as I say, you are all welcome. Does anyone want a summary of this case? Right. Let me introduce the court to you all, since I have introduced the Mount Horeb students. On my far left is Justice Michael Gableman. Seated next to him is Justice Patience Robinsack. To my immediate left is Justice Patrick Crooks, who sometimes occupies two seats on
this
court.
That's true.
by location.
By location. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. I was originally assigned to meet with the students, but I have another engagement that I have to meet. And the justice to my right, immediate right, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, will meet with the students right after this case is heard. Seated to the right of Justice Bradley is Justice David Prosser, and seated to his right is Justice Annette Ziegler. With those introductions made, I'll call our second case for today. 11-AP-451, Amjad Tufel versus Midwest Hospitality. Arguing on behalf of the plaintiff respondent petitioner is attorney Douglas W. Rose. Mr. Rose, podium is yours.
Good morning. My name is Douglas Rose. I represent the plaintiff respondent petitioner, Amjad Tufel. It's a beautiful spring day. I'm happy to be here.
And everything else you say will be the truth.
From now on, that's the last sarcasm of the day. Exactly. Arguably, that wasn't a good start. But, this is a contract case. I listened in a little on the one we had prior to this, and it was a very interesting case. This is a little more arguably straightforward with a contract case and contract interpretation. And I think what I would like to do to start is drill down into the contract itself, start with that. And it's laid out many times in the briefs, but I think it's worth talking about again right now. And I would like to emphasize certain portions of it. The first thing that, of course, we're looking at in this particular lease are the representations and warranties.
Have a couple of copies of, as you said, it's laid out in different parts of the brief. So perhaps you can tell us which copy you are working from, and then we can literally be on the same page.
I am looking at page 2 of our brief, as far as the snippets that I really want to concentrate on for right now. So as far as the plaintiff respondent petitioner's brief, page 2.
That's the red brief. Okay.
All to double-check that for you. Actually, it would be page 12.
Actually, maybe you're not able to do this, but the petitioner has it in the appendix, respondent has it in the appendix, and I just want, and I, lots of times I like the whole thing in front of me, and I just want to know which whole one you're going to be referring to. I assume it's yours. Huh?
It's 116 in petitioner's appendix.
I'm sorry. Page 116. First of all, I'm sorry, counsel, you're going to have to stand right in front of the microphone. If I were you, I would raise that podium a bit. Can you raise, do you know how to raise the podium so that you're closer to the microphone? There's a button or a lever on your immediate right.
Inside.
Inside.
Inside. Inside. Inside.
There you go. Who said that lawyers aren't scientifically and technologically inclined?
Good.
Okay, go ahead.
More high tech than I expected. Thank you. And I think Attorney LoCocco from our office. It is petitioner's appendix, page 117.
All right, petitioner's appendix, and what is it?
172.
117. Right. It's page 2 of the lease. All right, go ahead.
All right. Obviously, page paragraph 5 on that page, the use of the premises. If we drill down into the substance of this case, that appears, in our opinion, to be by far and away the most important. The other, we consider very important clause, is found in petitioner's appendix. And actually, I think that's a better place to start. Paragraph 33, Petitioner's Appendix 132.
That's the warranty one?
Yes. This is. We could start to say this is a breach of contract case or this is a contract case, but this is really, when you narrow it down even further, this is a representation and warranty case, and did my client, Mr. Tufail, make a misrepresentation? And that leads then to eventually if there's a breach of contract, yes or no. But the only way that we don't have a breach of contract, because there's no dispute that rent was not paid, is if my client made a misrepresentation. And the only representation anywhere to be found, there's nothing verbal, there's nothing else in writing. The only representations made by my client about this lease are in the lease itself. So we go to paragraph 33, and we look to sub G, which is on the next page, 133 of the appendix. And G says there are no existing restrictions, building and zoning ordinances, or other laws or requirements of any governmental authority prevent. And I want to stress the word prevent. It doesn't say impede. It doesn't say make more difficult. It says prevent the use of the premises for the purposes set forth in paragraph 5. So that is the representation that we drill down to and the crux of the case. So we go back to page 117 in paragraph 5. And this is exactly what he says and the only thing he says. He says, I am representing that the tenant will not be prevented from, may use and occupy the premises for any lawful purpose, including but not limited to, the retail sales, consumption, and delivery of food and beverages, which shall include but not be limited to, chicken products, fish products, bread products, salads, sandwiches, dessert items, promotional items, and any other items sold by any church's chicken store. That all he says. He says absolutely nothing else that could in any way be construed as a representation or warranty that would give the tenant here any valid reason not to pay rent, and therefore this is the claim that they have, that my client somehow breached the lease, and they are relieved of their obligation to pay the rent. So I stressed the word prevent, but I really want to drill down into the use of the premises. In the briefs, the defense goes to great pains to say a church's chicken is a fast food restaurant. So what? Even if it is, We have to get past the fact that there is a special use permit that allowed it to be used as a fast food restaurant. But we have to start with what the language itself says. And the language itself says, these are the things that they're going to use the premises for. I don't see the word fast food. I don't see the word drive-through. And I certainly don't see anything that says it has to stay open as a drive-through for people to go through the drive-through until 4 a.m. in the morning. And let's face it, at the end of the day, when they applied for their special use permit and they were granted the special use permit for a fast food restaurant with a drive-through as a Church's Chicken, the only thing they didn't receive from the governmental authority was the ability to run that drive-through until, let's say, 3 a.m. in the morning. There is certainly nothing in what we're looking at here that comes anywhere close to a representation or a warranty that Mr. Tufail said, landlord, Midwest Hospitality, a company that has hundreds of these Church's Chickens all over, sophisticated company, certainly knows about zoning restrictions. There's nothing he says about you can use it as a drive-through. I represent that you can use it as a
Counselor, what's the zoning? What is the zoning of the district where this establishment is located?
I believe, if, off the top of my head, it is B, which allows for commercial use. But the reality, and no offense to that question, because I think the zoning might make more difference, but for this, in the city of Milwaukee, if there's going to be a fast food restaurant with a drive-through, you have to get a special use permit no matter what. So the exact zoning, I don't know, Your Honor. I apologize about that. I think it's zoned B, which is generally commercial. But the reality is that you're going to have to get a special use permit for any restaurant. And Church's Chicken restaurants already exist. Midwest Hospitality had other restaurants similar in the city of Milwaukee. So I
Well, how do you answer the argument that, sure, five, the use of the premises, never says this is a fast food Church Chicken restaurant that's going to be open. Never says that. It just says the premises are going to be occupied to sell any lawful purpose. I mean, it's very general, including selling these products and any other products sold by a Church Chicken store. Never says that. That's true.
Right.
But the your opponent says, yeah, but you knew this was going to be a chicken store. You knew that. I mean, that's what Midwest does. It has fast food stores, especially chicken stores. And you yourself, that is your client, had a New York chicken store, which was a fast food. And before your client, it was operated, as I understand the fact, as a Church Chicken store, right?
Yes.
And in addition to all of that, which is outside the lease, mm-hmm. there are references inside the lease to Church Chicken stores, right?
Yes, there are.
So put all that together, and it spells Church Chicken store. And you would know that a fast food store needs a special permit because you had one. And when I say you, your client had one. So all of this interpretation of the contract, would you say that the warranty is such that it's accurate because the use of the premises to which the warranty makes reference is narrow? They say, no, it's broad because you knew it all.
Okay.
What's your response?
Yeah. Thank you, Chief Justice Abramson. First of all, the references in the lease and the other aspects to the term Church's Chicken have no definition of it whatsoever. They certainly don't say it's a fast food restaurant or a drive-thru, and they certainly don't say it needs to operate till 4 in the morning. That's number one. Number two, if we get beyond the language of the lease itself, we are violating, quite candidly, existing contract law, which says, and I'm going to quote Marion versus Orson's Camera Centers, which is in our brief at page 4. Judicial construction is not to make contracts or to reform them, but to determine what the parties contracted to do, not necessarily what they intended to agree to. And you're going into this intent argument. I understand. Well, isn't that what they intended? Wasn't it obvious that Mr. Toothail knew? Well, we're getting into intent now, and we're violating judicial construction. The language is there. It says what it says. And
your ideas, they'll just deal with the language. It's an integrated, fully integrated contract. It says it's fully integrated contract.
It does.
And yet, all we have to do is look at the language here. It's a question of law, right?
That's the first place to start.
All right. That's the first place to start. And that's where you started. And is any of this language ambiguous in your mind?
I have looked at that time and time again, and I have to be real candid. If there's anything that I find ambiguous, it is including but not limited to. Now, we know that's somewhat legal language. It's often in contracts that we see that lawyers write. Other than that, I do not see anything ambiguous at all. I cannot find something here, and it's not in the brief. I looked at the briefs filed by my respected opponent, and there is nothing to say. What is it about paragraph 5 that is ambiguous? I don't know. He says if we go beyond that, well, everybody knew a church's chicken is a fast food restaurant. Yeah, but that's beyond the language itself. The language itself is clear. And I can go one further.
I understood his brief to say it's not ambiguous, but it's clear in his favor.
It's clear in his favor in what way? It certainly isn't clear to say that if there is going to be a church's fast food restaurant here, it has to remain open with the drive-thru until 4 a.m., which is what they want. I don't think there's any way you could read it to say that. And that is where I go with the second prong of the argument. First of all, I don't think we stop there. We don't have to stop there. I think the law and the case I cited and many others say that you're supposed to stop there. But if we don't, if somehow, some way, someone says this is vague or ambiguous, and let's face it, what does it mean by church's chicken? I need to stop there. It doesn't say church's chicken as far as it's going to be a church's chicken store. The church's chicken wording is just describing the types of products that are going to be sold. It doesn't say this is going to be a church's chicken. It says we're going to sell products that are similar to those sold by a church's chicken, number one. But two, we have four or five hurdles to get over here. Number one, if we get past my argument that it's clear, if. Number two, if we get past this argument that, okay, we all knew it was going to be a church's chicken, fine, it can be. The special use permit was granted. It can be a church's chicken. The next hurdle is it a sit-down or is it a fast food? It can be a fast food. The special use permit was granted for it to be a fast food restaurant. The next hurdle is, could it be a drive-thru? We wanted it to be a drive-thru. The special use permit was granted for it to be a drive-thru. The only thing they don't like is that the Board of Zoning Appeals said the special use permit won't let you operate until 4 a.m. in the morning.
Well, they limited it to 9 p.m., didn't they?
I'm sorry?
Didn't they limit it to 9 p.m. and it has to close at 9 p.m.? Okay.
9 p.m.
So it closes at 9 p.m., and it was only for 1 year, and they have to apply again.
And I want to hit that last point, and that's a good one. And that did give me some pause until I thought about it. The one-year limitation, okay? If you're going to open a restaurant, you have to get a restaurant license. Right?
Right.
Well, a restaurant.
You've got to get a lot of licenses.
Yes, you have to get a lot of licenses. DHS Administrative Code 196.04. You have to have a restaurant license, and it has to be renewed annually. So are we going to say that because this administrative code provision exists, and that you have to renew annually for your restaurant license, that somehow my client has made a misrepresentation? The same analogy applies here, doesn't it? If they have to apply annually for a special use permit to run a drive-thru, they have to apply annually to run a restaurant at all. And we're already past the representation in the first place. We're already into extrinsic evidence. We're already way beyond what we're supposed to get into. And that's the problem here. Where does this end? What if the Board of Zoning Appeals has said, okay, we're going to approve this until 11 p.m.? One time I was before Your Honors a long time ago was the economic loss doctrine. And one of the purposes of the economic loss doctrine was to encourage people to put things into their contracts so that we don't have to have so many litigable disputes. Put it in the contract. If Midwest Hospitality, as their representative stated, we weren't going to make any profits if we couldn't stay open till 4 in the morning with a drive-thru, well, then make sure you put that in the contract. Put it in paragraph 5. Put it wherever you want. And say, as a condition of this lease, we want to make sure that we can have a drive-thru that stays open till 4 in the morning.
Well, do all of, or at least most of, these chicken church chicken places stay open till 4 a.m., or don't you know, or don't, maybe that's not the right question. The right question is, what's in the record?
I think it's a great question for this reason. Because the Court of Appeals said in their decision, they basically said, everyone knows a church's chicken is a fast food restaurant. No offense, I didn't know that. Do we all know that a church's chicken is a fast food restaurant?
I don't even know what a fast food restaurant is as defined.
Does it include
What does it mean? Is it only defined in the ordinance?
A very good question. The ordinance.
I have many of them.
And I believe you do. I really do. This is fascinating so far, to be candid. I like that point because if we ask Barb Jones, who is the plan examiner for the city, what does the ordinance say? She had trouble answering that question. And if you'll see in our brief, we said, Barb Jones, do you consider the language in paragraph 5 to mean it's a sit-down restaurant or fast food restaurant? She said, I don't know. Well, if it's important to Midwest Hospitality, if it's that important for them that they're not going to honor this lease if they don't get to stay open until 4 a.m., put it in the lease. If it's that important to them that they make sure they have a drive-through, put it in the lease.
Well, I'm familiar, and I assume many are, with one of the oldest fast food franchises, namely McDonald's. And I always thought they were fast food, but there are a lot of McDonald's restaurants that you can sit down at.
Yes.
And there are many that have drive-throughs, but I was just at the airport and couldn't sit down, and there was no drive-through. But it still was a McDonald's. It still was fast food.
And my follow-up to that point is, that's fine. And even if, and this is exactly what Judge Polkan said in his decision, even if we get past this point of looking at the contract itself and we say, well, a church's chicken is a fast food restaurant, the reality is that the special use permit was granted and it was allowed to be a fast food restaurant and it was allowed to be a drive-through. So we pause and say, we don't think you should get there by contract interpretation law, but if you do, it doesn't matter.
Counselor, but isn't the problem here that you got a 5-year contract? You've got a tenant that's got to do significant, expensive renovations in order to use the premises for a new restaurant. And when they don't know that they can operate beyond 1 year, they are closing down at 9 o'clock, which I think is interesting given the general ordinances in Milwaukee for fast food restaurants. It says they can be open from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., and they're not. So I don't know why they ended up with the special use permit they did, that it's as restrictive as it is. Apparently, the neighbors were unhappy with this prior chicken restaurant and what effect it had on the neighborhood. But, you know, this is a 5-year lease. It's not a 1-year lease. So, I mean, there's nothing to say that they have a lock on getting it for year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, but you got a 5-year lease here. And isn't that the problem? The expenditure by the tenant that is required for them to run their business and the uncertainty of whether they're going to be able to use the 5 years of the lease?
Sure. And we see that every day when I deal with my business partner who does corporate transactional work, and he drafts it into the contract. He says, if I have to do leasehold improvements, I'm going to make sure that I get some recoupment of my investment. And he puts safeguards in to make sure that if that happens, in other words, they get a year down the road and it doesn't get renewed, my tenant improvements are paid back somehow. That can be done. It can be done by putting it into the contract. And it's done every day. They decided not to do it here. That's their choice. We shouldn't try to find intent. We shouldn't try to find what might be a problem for them. I'm going to go back to that case I cited. And I'm going to read some language from it. It's Marion versus Orsons again, page 4 of our brief. There's a great, great quote by the justice in that case. In 1,000 pounds of law, I find not a single ounce of love. We're not supposed to try to feel sorry for Midwest Hospitality here and say, what happens if they go 1 year and then the lease goes out? We're not supposed to look for sympathy for them. We're supposed to look at the language of the lease.
Well, the language of the lease is 5 years. I'm not trying to give them sympathy. I'm trying to put a little bit of a question to you about how do you sign a 5-year lease when you got a 1-year permit? That's all you can come up with.
Well, then I think you have to draft your lease better, and you have to take into account that contingency, just like they have to take into account the contingency that they have to renew their restaurant license every year, and what happens if their restaurant license isn't renewed.
Well, I think your short answer, if I interpret it correctly, is it's not your problem.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
I do agree with that. We're holding our hands up saying, look, if you wanted, we don't know exactly what you want. We don't know how late you want to operate. We don't know what type of store you want. Is this going to be your gourmet Church's Chicken, the best in the world, or is this going to be your typical one?
Not to mention nothing about any guarantee, because you wouldn't be in a position to make it anyway, that any license was going to be renewed.
Nobody can guarantee that. My client, certainly, if he was asked in a lease to guarantee that Church's Chicken's restaurant license would be renewed the next year, we don't have control over that. That's up to them. And how can I represent and warrant that that's going to happen? I can't, because it's out of my control.
Could you describe exactly how this lease came about? I mean, who is responsible for drafting heavy negotiations?
I do have to agree with the comment in the brief, again, from opposing counsel, that the lease itself does say in a paragraph that this is drafted by both sides, and our contract interpretation of construe against the drafter, it kind of, by the contract language itself, takes that out of there. I think if you look at the facts of this case, my client did not do the bulk of the drafting here. He certainly did not put in paragraph 5 or the representations and warranties. That's not his language. It's nowhere near his language, considering his level of expertise as far as drafting. But I have to admit that the contract itself says it goes against, it's not either side. But I don't think we ever get to that point. I don't think we need to resort to construe against the drafter. The contract itself is clear. I start with that argument. The second argument is, even if it's not, and we look to the intent of the parties, it's not the question of did they intend it to be a fast food restaurant. It's not the question of did they intend it to have a drive-through, because the special use permit gave them all that. That becomes an immediately moot point. The only thing they complained about was, we can't operate till 4 a.m., and I don't think, therefore, it's going to be profitable, so I'm out. Once you sign the lease, you don't have that option unless you put it in as a contingency in the lease. And that doesn't cut any way or the other than it's not pro-business, it's not pro-anybody. It's, let's look at what the parties drafted, which we're supposed to do, which we're supposed to encourage.
The lease says in paragraph 36 on page 134, that this is it. There's no other materials that should be looked at. This is an integrated, I don't know if it uses the word integrated, but in effect says, doesn't it, no parole evidence.
Parole evidence rule applies here, I think so, yes.
But the parole evidence doesn't apply if it's ambiguous. Then you can use parole evidence to look at this. But it says landlord and tenant have negotiated the terms. Therefore, the lease shall not be interpreted or construed against or in favor of any party. Do you go along with that?
Yes, and that was my answer to Justice Prosser.
I'm just pinpointing the language. Is that the language you're relying on?
When I responded to Judge Prosser's question, yes. I do admit that the lease does say that, and therefore we can't really resort to the construe against the drafter issue. I agree with that. And I don't think it comes into play. I don't think it comes into play in Issue 1 because the language itself is not ambiguous. And I don't think this comes into play in Issue 2 because, as Judge Pocan said in his decision, even if we get past that and we try to look to the intent of the parties, the reality is that the special use permit was granted and they got everything they wanted but for staying open until 4 a.m. And I have to fall back on, we made no representation or warranty that they can stay open until 4 a.m. We said there's nothing preventing the use. Period. We didn't say there's nothing. We didn't say, I represent and warrant to you that you can keep your Church's Chicken restaurant with a drive-through open until 4 a.m. and that the municipality will let you do that. We didn't say anything close to that. We didn't even say fast food or drive-through, much less this much higher burden that they're trying to put upon us. I'm seeing a red light. So.
Yes, thank you, counsel, and you will have 5 minutes in rebuttal, Mr. Rose. Attorney Christopher T. Hale, representing Midwest Hospitality.
Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Christopher Hale, and I represent Midwest Hospitality. in this case. And this case involves a long-term lease between parties with extensive experience in the fast food industry. And Chief Justice, there may be some gray areas in fast food as to sit-down food, but this is truly fast food. This is drive-through. Almost everything is carry-out. Very little is eaten on premises. There's no gray area here. The lease involved significant investment by Midwest Hospitality because of the renovations that were going to be necessary, both interior and exterior to the building. And when I say it was a long-term lease, Justice Rogensack said 5 years. Actually, it's a 25-year lease. It's 5-year initial term and 4 options for Midwest Hospitality to unilaterally exercise for a total of 25 years. And what they did is they took Mr. Tufile over to one of their Midwest Hospitality Church's Chicken fast food restaurants in Milwaukee and showed him what they were going to do to his property. And he agreed to it. And they entered into this lease.
Well, did that Midwest facility also have a special permit?
I don't know, Your Honor. The zoning here is LB2, Local Business 2, and it prevented the use of this property as a fast food restaurant. I don't know what the zoning was for the one they showed him, Your Honor.
Well, the reason I say that is once you start getting out of this contract, there's an awful lot of knowledge your clients have, too, about fast foods and about zoning and about permits.
Well, Your Honor, my clients, because of the significant investment and the term of the lease, insisted they sought and received warranties and representations absolute.
They were absolute, but they're written not that you can exercise a fast food operation without any permits. They're written that you won't be prevented.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And the zoning at this location prevented the use of the premises as a church's chicken.
You know, if you read this strictly, it says no existing restrictions, building and zoning ordinances, or other laws or requirements prevent the use of the premises. You had to get a building permit to put in your equipment.
The building code did not prevent the building. We could get a permit. The zoning code did prevent the use.
You had to get a permit.
Yes, Your Honor.
You could read G to say you don't have to get any permits. You don't have to get anything.
I think that's an unreasonable reading of it, Your Honor. It says that there's no zoning restrictions preventing the use.
And you did get a permit to have a fast food restaurant, and you could use the premises for a fast food restaurant with a drive-through for a year. And there was nothing to say you couldn't get it for 24 more years.
Your Honor, the zoning code prevented the use, and our use was denied by the City of Milwaukee, Barbara Jones. At that point in time, that representation and warranty was breached. We looked into waiving that breach if we could get the exact same sort of a special use permit that Mr. Tufile had, which was a 10-year permit, allowed to operate till 4 in the morning, no restrictions. This is the first we learned of his special use permit or that his use had previously been denied. We then go before the Board of Zoning Appeals, and we meet this significant local opposition. And the reason for the opposition was they didn't want more fast food restaurants. And so the first Board of Zoning Appeals hearing was adjourned because they didn't expect this opposition. At the second hearing, they gave a special use permit for a period of 1 year. We had to pick up the garbage in the neighborhood in a diameter of 2 blocks, whether that garbage was generated by the church's chicken customers or the store we had to go out and clean up the garbage in a two-block diameter. The restaurant and the drive-thru had to close at 9 p.m., not 4 a.m. like Mr. Tufile. And Mr. Craig Zettley, the chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals, expressly warned Church's Chicken. They said to them, look, this is a big investment for you. You better think about it because there's no guarantee you're going to get another special use permit next year. And the neighborhood opposition was prepared to come back. Now, the lease had been breached the moment it was signed when they said there are no zoning restrictions preventing the use. And Barbara Jones testified, no, the zoning restrictions in LB2 prevent this use.
Now, look, if you narrowly construe or just construe the words, it says no existing restrictions, building and zoning ordinance, or other laws or requirements prevent the use of the premises for the purposes in paragraph 5. 5 says nothing about a Church's Chicken fast food restaurant. It says you can have retail sales for consumption and delivery of food and beverages, including but not limited to the following products. It doesn't say your intent was a fast food restaurant to be open until 4 a.m. and you don't have to pick up any garbage.
That's right, Your Honor. And the fast food operation was prevented that by the
zoning. It doesn't say fast food.
I apologize, Your Honor. That's correct. The Church's Chicken was prevented. And there are two critical facts for this court. One, there is nothing in the record or in reality of a Church's Chicken that is not a fast food restaurant. And two, there's nothing in the record or in reality of some other type of restaurant or store selling Church's Chicken products. They're not sold in convenience stores. They're not sold in grocery stores. They're only sold in fast food stores. So similar, Chief Justice, to your question, if McDonald's doesn't have to say if it exercises a lease, McDonald's open parens a fast food restaurant. It is a fast food restaurant. The parties understood it was a fast food restaurant.
I didn't understand it from reading this. I'm looking just at the four corners of this. I have no experience at all with Church's Chicken.
And that's
what a court does. It looks at the words. There's nothing in here on a Church's Chicken fast food. Now, McDonald's started out selling hamburgers. It now sells salads, and it sells wraps, and it sells beef, and it sells barbecue. And I have no idea what Church's Chicken sells, and it can... If it is going to be a viable entity, it's going to have to keep changing to meet the new food interests of the people, right?
I assume so, Your Honor.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to be out of business. And so that's why it says any other items sold by churches, but the other items are sold by a lot of other people that are not churches.
Your Honor, this court has said... You don't look at a contract in a vacuum. You don't look at a provision in a contract without looking at the contract as a whole.
Right.
It is also said a contract is to be interpreted in the manner that it would be understood by persons in the business to which the contract relates.
Mm-hmm.
These are both experienced fast food operators. Mr. Tufile was operating a former Church's Chicken fast food restaurant for 8 years.
Well... Was it? I thought it was New York Chicken.
It was formerly a Church's. When he took it over, it was a Church's fried chicken.
That's right, but he didn't operate a Church's Chicken.
He did not run a Church's.
He ran a New York.
He ran a New York as well as other fast food restaurants.
Yeah, because Church's did not authorize the use of their names.
On that lease.
That's right.
That's correct.
That's right.
So we have two people in the...
You knew that he was operating a fast food non-Church's Chicken.
Correct.
Counsel, can I ask you, there's been a lot of discussion of sub G, but will you talk to me a little bit about sub D? The phrase present zoning classification of the premises is used, not as in G where it talks about zoning ordinances. What was the present zoning classification of the premises at the time the contract was signed?
LB2. It was LB2, Your Honor, and it did not allow this property to be operated as a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, I thought they had that 10-year special use permit, so it was classified for use for 10 years from the year 2000 as a New York chicken, right?
Correct.
So is there a difference or isn't there a difference between present zoning classification as used in sub D and the words zoning ordinances as used in G? Because at the time this lease was signed, wasn't that 10-year special use permit still in effect?
It was in effect, but because zoning prevents the use as a fast food restaurant, no change of operator can occur. The special use permit only runs with that operator. So when a new operator comes in, the zoning prevents the use unless a new special use permit is obtained.
Okay, so you think the phrase zoning classification and zoning ordinance essentially are the same?
Yes, Your Honor. I do.
Counselor, are the zoning codes for the city of Milwaukee, which are publicly available on the web, something the court can take judicial notice of, in your view?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Counsel, in looking at the provisions that we've been previously focusing on, that is G, which has the word use, I'm looking at 133 of the petitioner's appendix, excuse me, and also, let me just stay with that. It occurs to me that the word use is ambiguous. That use, on one hand, is sure you can use it as long as you finish, you finish by 9 p.m., close by 9 p.m. Another meaning of the word use is use as long as you want. And so if it's ambiguous, first of all, do you think it's ambiguous? And if not, and if so, how does ambiguity play out in your favor?
Well, Your Honor, it has been our argument and it still is our argument that these warranties and representations were absolute and they did represent that we would be able to use the premises under the existing zoning, which we could not. However, if it is ambiguous because of the use definitions that you have just come up with, which makes some sense, there is absolutely nothing in the record except this was going to be a fast food restaurant that was intended to be operated the exact same way as the New York chicken had been operated in the past. It's understood in the industry, of course, that these types of restaurants make much of their revenues after 9 o'clock at night. And there is absolutely nothing in the record contrary to this was going to be a fast food restaurant with late night operations as allowed by the city ordinances for a fast food restaurant. There is one point I'd like to make regarding
before you make the point. There were expert testimony in this case. I have not read it all. Is there any expert testimony that this is one of your standard? Was there expert testimony that this was a standard lease? Your client rarely drafted this will.
Well, our client submitted the first form of the lease. Okay. There were multiple changes, an addendum added,
right.
Whole pages were crossed out. Mr. Tufail was represented by counsel on this.
All of that's true. But you probably have standard leases for chicken.
Your Honor, I don't think the record reflects whether this is a standard lease. I don't think the record reflects that.
Okay.
The the type of construction that is being advocated here, the very narrow and strict and selective construction, I believe is contrary both to the terms of the lease, and if you look at the lease at paragraph 38, it says, and I quote, "The lease shall be interpreted to the broadest extent possible to give full and fair meaning to the intentions of the parties hereto." It was intended to be read broadly to fulfill the intentions of the parties.
Counselor, how close is the proposed facility to residential use?
It's within 150 feet. We know that.
It's closer than 150 feet, is that
yes.
what you're saying? Okay. Thank you.
We know that. And that brings us to a point, Your Honor, the petitioner's position has changed throughout this litigation. First, throughout trial and even after trial, the position of the petitioner was it was only the drive-through that caused the zoning code to prevent the use of the property. They reiterated that again and again, and said, and they kept admitting, of course the use of the property was for Church's Chicken, that is, a fast food restaurant, but we didn't say drive-through in paragraph 5. Paragraph 5 didn't say drive-through, and it was a clever argument because even though the existing New York Chicken had a drive-through, and it had always had a drive-through, and all Church's Chickens either have drive-through or in warmer climates a walk-up window, it didn't say drive-through in paragraph 5. So their argument throughout was, yes, it was going to be a Church's Chicken restaurant, but it didn't say drive-through, and the only reason the zoning code prevented the use was the drive-through. The City of Milwaukee planning examiner came in, and it's uncontested. She said, regardless of the drive-through, the zoning code prevents the use of this building as a fast food restaurant. Now we get this very tortured look at the language where even though it says Church's Chicken throughout the lease or Church's Chicken restaurant or Church's Chicken franchise or Church's Chicken store, the petitioner is now arguing it doesn't even have to be a Church's Chicken restaurant. It could, as long as it sells Church's Chicken product. It isn't up to courts to determine something so narrowly that it's unreasonable. A contract, courts will adopt a construction that is reasonable, fair, and just, as opposed to one that is unusual or extraordinary. This court has said that on numerous occasions. Unusual and extraordinary is a restaurant that doesn't exist. A sit-down restaurant selling Church's food products.
Counsel, I understood your opposing counsel to indicate in response to a question from Justice Rogensack, in part as follows, that a fast food restaurant with a drive-through would always require a special use permit.
The record simply does not support that, Your Honor. The record supports that a fast food restaurant in a freestanding building, which is this property is freestanding, cannot be used in an LB2 district.
Counsel, if the other side prevails here, what exactly are the consequences to you?
I would take it that the decision of the trial court would be reinstated, Your Honor.
And what? And how much money are you going to owe? Or what?
The trial court found there were $88,000, roughly, in damages to the petitioner.
That was in terms of how much the damage for not fulfilling the 5-year lease.
If we prevail, Your Honor?
No, if they prevail.
If they prevail, it would be remanded to enter judgment of the trial.
$88,000.
Yes, sir.
Plus, there was some extra money.
Yes, Your Honor. I don't have the exact number. If this...
Counselor, is this the only use that is in the building?
Yes,
sir. There's nothing else in the building but this proposed fast food restaurant.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
The taken to the logical conclusion, this type of a contrived view of the language of the contract would mean, as I think Chief Justice Abramson said, McDonald's would have to put in every contract that it is a fast food restaurant. That is simply not necessary because it was self-evident and completely understood by the parties. In conclusion, if there are no further questions.
Well, this was a lease between Twofall and Midwest Hospitality, right?
Correct.
And in the use of the premises, it does not say fast food, and it doesn't say Church's Chicken, right?
It says Church's Chicken Store.
It says that the tenant may use and occupy the premises for any lawful purpose, not limited to retail sales, consumption, and delivery of food and beverages, which include but not limited to chicken products. Chicken there is uppercase.
I think fish is also, isn't it?
But fish is also. That's what I was going to point out. I mean, if you read this, bread is not, salad's not uppercase. Sandwiches, dessert items, promotional items, and any other items sold by a chicken, Church's Chicken store. It does not say it's going to be used as a Church's Chicken fast food store. That's your difficulty. The other side has difficulty, too, because there is reference in this contract, in this lease, to Church's Chicken stores and fast food restaurants. So you both have a little problems as to the contract. The contract says it covers everything, and there's no change, modification, and it sets forth all the covenants, promises, agreements, conditions are in this contract. But then it says it shall be interpreted in the broadest possible extent to give full and fair meaning to the intentions of the parties, which might say you got to look outside the contract. And those look to me as if they could be interpreted as conflicting provisions, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you got issues here. It says that there's nothing shall prevent the use of the store. On the other hand, but that is nothing shall prevent the sale of food products in this site. But it doesn't say nothing shall prevent this as a fast food store. So you got a contract that has to be interpreted.
Yes.
With potentially conflicting provisions, or arguably conflicting provisions.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you got the parole evidence lurking in the background, right?
Yes, we do, Your Honor. And if this contract is found ambiguous, so we get back to the same result we've argued from the beginning, because Mr. Twofall agreed it was a fast food restaurant. His previous restaurant was a fast food restaurant. His expert testified it was a fast food restaurant. And I think that Barbara Jones, the city of Milwaukee, said it best on direct examination. She said, by definition, a church's restaurant is a fast food restaurant. So if we get to extrinsic evidence, then it's going to be undisputed that this was intended to be a fast food.
It's undisputed that you're not prevented from doing that, but it's not the terms you would like.
It's not disputed that when we appealed the denial of our use, that if it's ambiguous and it was a fast food restaurant, then it was prevented by the zoning code. We appealed that and received this restrictive special use permit. And under this type of rationale, a special use permit issued for a day would satisfy the lease.
I know that was your argument in your brief.
Thank you for reading it.
I read it not for a day, but it was not for 25 years either. So, and you always have that problem because you were running a restaurant and the health department could decide that you didn't meet all of the qualifications, and you didn't have a health permit.
Well, I would like to address that issue, Your
Honor.
Go ahead. The health issue, first of all, that was never raised before. It was raised in the reply brief. And the health issue is something the operator is responsible for, has to be. That nothing prevents a restaurant from receiving its permit other than the cleanliness and allowing the inspections. There's nothing that says, because of your location, you cannot operate this restaurant. You just have to follow the health guidelines to be a restaurant. So I don't think the point is relevant at all to the zoning restrictions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, Mr. Hale is concluded. Mr. Rose, you have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Okay,
also, before you get started, I have a question that relies on the zoning code.
Yes.
It's been represented that this is in the LB2 zoning. And under Milwaukee's commercial use chart, a fast food restaurant / carryout is a limited use. And when I go back and I look at all of this limited use, I see there are particular provisions for drive-through facility. But there's also provisions under subsection O for a fast food carryout restaurant. And it says the use shall be located in a building containing at least one other principal use listed as a permitted use in the zoning district in which it is located. So this facility doesn't have anything else in the building. And my question to you is, why doesn't subsection O, it's actually 2O, prevent the use, and then you step into, do you waive that or do you have an obligation to try to get a permit? Basically, it's opposing counsel's argument that says, out of the box, it was permitted. It was prohibited, but they tried to get a permit and would have waived it if they could have gotten a permit. So I want you just to address whether out of the box it's prohibited.
And the answer is this, it's not.
Okay,
and that's why you see fast food restaurants that have a couple little tables. It can also be a sit-down. And if it's a sit-down, it is a permitted use. So you have a building with a permitted use, which is just a sit-down restaurant. They also get to do the drive-through and the carry-out.
Well, the drive-through has different restrictions on it, according to the zoning code. Okay, so your comment is all they had to do was put a table in there, or two tables, and they could have had a sit-down restaurant rather than a fast food carry-out?
Which they routinely do. I mean, you go to a McDonald's, you can either get your drive-through carry-out or you can sit down. And I fall back on what Justice Gableman said. How do we know? I don't know what Church's Chicken wants to do with this restaurant. But as far as complying with that, you certainly can have a permitted use being simply a sit-down restaurant. And that was the initial argument we made,
okay.
not to be disingenuous, because we thought they probably wanted to use it for more than that. But if you look at the language itself, just have it be a sit-down. There's nothing wrong with that.
It is permitted if it's a sit-down, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I fall back then on the argument of this understanding that the term Church's Chicken is so ubiquitous. Kleenex, maybe. A Kleenex tissue, we know what that is. Does everyone know what a Church's Chicken restaurant is so that it's automatically defined in a lease? Absolutely not. I'd also like to address Justice Ziegler's comment. If you look at D, there has been no change in the zoning classification. LB2 remained throughout. The question is, and I have to go back, realize at the point in time this lease was entered into, and I can refer to the record 41 at 28 to 29 and in petitioner's appendix at 105-106. Mr. Tufel's restaurant had ceased operation. So any argument here that somehow we were running a restaurant that was a fast food restaurant at the time Church's Chicken came in and said, well, we want to turn it into a Church's Chicken. My client ran a New York Chicken restaurant there for a long time, but by the time Church's Chicken came in, he had shut it down.
Does the record reflect why your client decided to shut down his business there?
Sure, sure. And I understand why opposing counsel is chuckling. But it's not relevant. He did that because he was having problems with some sanitation issues and everything else. And he shut it down, according to his testimony, because I was going to fix it up. Now, I do think...
So, because I'm reading some of these letters that the neighbors and organizations sent to the Board of Zoning, and... you know, they seem to think that for quite some time this wasn't an establishment that they wanted to have
I agree
in their
with that.
Neighborhood.
I agree with that. And
so I'm wondering whether that's any fact that could result in modification of this being used for, I mean, did your client anticipate, does the record reflect whether your client anticipated that this restaurant would meet with this kind of resistance from the neighborhood?
Oh, I think that, I consider that to be a red herring issue. I think it puts my client in a bad light. But the truth is, he shut down his restaurant. It was shut down at the time Church's Chicken came in and looked at it. And who knows exactly why neighbors might be happy or not happy. And I don't think it's relevant to the issue of contract interpretation here. And I noticed counsel said, there was a reason for opposition to the special use, and that was the neighbors. We have to go back to the fundamental premise here. They're claiming, and this is their burden, that my client made a misrepresentation. And they're claiming in any way did my client represent or warrant that the neighbors would like the Church's Chicken? Absolutely not. How in the world is my client supposed to know exactly what the neighbors might think of the new Church's Chicken coming in? How is my client supposed to know any of that? There's no way he's going to know any of that. And there's no way he could. When we talk about the 5 years, and we talk about the fact, well, wasn't this a 5-year lease? I agree. It was a 5-year with options for 25 years. If Church's Chicken wanted it, why didn't they make it a 1-year with options for additional annual renewals? They could have done that. This is a negotiation. We shouldn't imply, and I don't necessarily say sympathy, but we shouldn't imply that 5 years is somehow draconian here. If they wanted to be 1 year, make it 1 year. And then we have the right to say yes or no. Go back to the contract. Let the contract speak for itself. Instead of finding all this extraneous information out here and talking about what exactly a Church's Chicken is and the neighbors and the garbage over here and everything else. That's not the point. The point is, what should the law provide? And the law should say, what does the contract say? And the term Church's Chicken is elsewhere in the contract. It's not defined. It doesn't say fast food elsewhere in the contract. The portion of the contract that matters here is paragraph 5. What was the intended use of the premises? And my client says, I represent and warrant that I'm not aware of anything that prevents that use. Prevents that use. And the answer to that is the contract in that regard is clear. And the answer to that is my client didn't make any misrepresentations in that regard. I don't know how he could have. Because a special use permit was granted, and the only thing that wasn't granted was operating until late at night, till 4 a.m. And nowhere will you find anything in the lease or out. And that's why we win both ways. If you find that the lease itself is clear, we win. If you find it's not clear, we win. Because there's certainly no extrinsic evidence that says my client made a misrepresentation about this restaurant being able to be open until 4 a.m. Where is that in the record? It's not there.
When did your client acquire this property?
He operated his restaurant for approximately 8 years. And then he shut it down, and then he was going to remodel it. Church's Chicken came in and wanted to lease it up and open their own Church's Chicken.
Did he acquire the property from a Church's Chicken franchise?
I do not believe so, no. And there's nothing in the record either way. I do not believe so, though, Your Honor.
Your opposing counsel alleged that someone from Church's Chicken took him to another Church's Chicken before there was a lease. Is that true?
I think it is. I don't know, no offense, Your Honor, I don't know what difference that makes. We're looking at a legal case of contractor interpretation and how this is supposed to be handled. And if we get to extrinsic evidence, I don't think that carries the day anyway. And even if he did take him to another Church's Chicken, did he take him there at 4 in the morning? I don't think so. And that's what they're arguing. Their argument is, my gosh, we wanted to stay open until 4 in the morning and we're not going to be profitable. Well, then put it in the lease. And don't claim we made a misrepresentation about that because we didn't even address that issue one way or the other. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. I want to thank Mr. Rose and Mr. Hale on behalf of the court for their briefs on a contract interpretation case and for their argument today on a contract interpretation case. And the contract here is a lease. Most of our contract interpretation cases have involved insurance policies. And indeed, nationally, most contract interpretation cases are insurance cases. We've had very few lease interpretation cases. So this is a sort of new for us, although your briefs carefully point out that we've had contract interpretations of other than insurance cases. And we look forward to writing this different area. So ends this our hearing on 11AP 1451, Tufail versus Midwest Hospitality. The court will meet in conference at in our closed conference room at 1